Hello and welcome to the Innovation Forum podcast for Friday 17th of July with me, Ian Welsh. Coming a bit later are some highlights from a conversation I had a few days ago with Franco Costantini, Managing Director of Control Union UK. We talked about how food producers and the farming sector more generally is adopting regenerative agriculture. We talk about the barriers to successful scaling up of regenerative projects and the overall potential for the sector. That's to come. First up, though, is the usual roundup of some sustainable business news. Customers in the UK keen to cut their single-use plastic footprint are now able to access a new online shopping service that delivers household essentials, foods and drink, in fully reusable packaging. The Loop shopping platform, developed by recycling business TerraCycle, delivers drinks, shampoo, sauces, detergents and other products in packaging that is then returned at the time of the next delivery. Customers pay a small deposit for each item of packaging that is then refunded in full when it is returned. The packaging can also be dropped off at one of the 2,500 collection points for courier business DPD. Initially, 150 products from 35 household brands will be available via Loop's website. Retailer Tesco will also be bringing the Loop platform into its stores. Loop launched as a pilot project in Paris in 2019, partnering with French retailer Carrefour and with the backing of some big-name businesses, including Unilever and Coca-Cola. The Loop platform is now also available in the US and due to be rolled out in Japan, Australia and Canada in the coming months. Coca-Cola has also been in the news this week with the announcement that its European Partners business is backing a new recycling facility that will convert old PET plastic bottles into high-quality packaging suitable for food and drink. Coke is backing recycling startup Cure Technology, which has developed a single process that can convert the bottles back to food grade. The process involves partial depolymerization of the PET, which allows for previously more difficult to recycle materials to be processed. Cure Technology says that its system is less carbon intensive than other recycling processes. Coca-Cola says that its investment with the startup is part of its efforts to achieve its 100% recycling ambition for its PET bottles. Emissions from the agriculture and waste sectors are among the main reasons for worldwide methane emissions reaching the highest levels on record, according to the Global Methane Budget's latest update. This initiative from the Global Carbon Project is an international group that estimates methane levels from around the world through analysis of sources and sinks. The most recent year fully analysed, 2017, shows annual global methane emissions of 600 million tonnes, a 9% increase on the 2000 to 2006 average. Atmospheric concentrations of methane by the end of 2019 is estimated to have been 2.5 times that of pre-industrial levels. Agriculture and waste are said to contribute 60% of the increase in atmospheric methane concentrations between the 2000 to 2006 average and 2017. The global agricultural sector should make more use of the knowledge and skills of indigenous peoples, according to the president of the International Fund for Agricultural Development, Gilbert Huangbo. He believes that the coronavirus pandemic shows a need for a rethink about how we interact with nature and how we produce and consume food. Unsustainable agricultural practices, deforestation and ecosystem destruction are among the causes of the pandemic, and the president argues that indigenous peoples have long warned of the potential consequences of such practices. Despite this, the 476 million indigenous peoples in over 90 countries are too often marginalised. Representing 6% of the world's population, they account for 18% of the planet's poor. IFAD says that such peoples are custodians of 80% of the world's biodiversity and are among those most vulnerable to climate change. However, the fund believes that indigenous peoples have a core role to play in pandemic recovery and also in helping to deliver the Sustainable Development Goals by 2030. Innovation Forum has just launched this autumn's Future of Plastics conference, held via our interactive online platform over 3 days from the 20th to the 22nd of October. Among the expert panellists are representatives of Coca-Cola European Partners, Dow Chemical Company, Tesco, Anheuser-Busch InBev and Greenpeace. Sign up right now to join them and pick up a £300 discount on tickets. And from the 2nd of November this year is Innovation Forum's Sustainable Landscapes and Commodities event. This will include a series of focused interactive workshops around an extended conference this year over 3 days. Already signed up to take part are senior representatives from Syme Derby, April, Tate & Lyle, WWF, Burger King and the Consumer Goods Forum. All details are on innovationforum.co.uk and we'll also have some pre-event workshops exclusively for conference delegates to get the important conversations kicked off early. A few days ago, I caught up with Franco Costantini, Managing Director of Control Union UK. We talked about the potential for regenerative agriculture and how producers are switching to more holistic farming techniques, encouraging greater soil organic matter, biodiversity and sequestering CO2. We're going to talk about regenerative agriculture. So why don't you start us off by giving us a little bit of insight as to what you think are the key components of regenerative agriculture.
Regenerative agriculture is a way of farming which is addressing the issue of soil degradation and the issue of climate crisis. We are using our soils in a way that is not sustainable. For example, in the UK, soil degradation is costing about £1.2 billion annually. We also have studies from FAO saying that 95% of our food is grown using our topsoil. And if we continue to use the soil as we've been doing so far, we can run out of topsoil in around 60 years. There is clearly an issue which is related to taking care of the soil. And there is also the issue which is more linked to climate crisis and to biodiversity, CO2 sequestration, and all related aspects. So regenerative agriculture is a way of farming which is trying to promote sustainable ways of farming. And at the end of all, of course, the goal is to increase the health of the soil and to increase the environmental impact from farming operations.
Can you give us an example then of what regenerative agriculture looks like in practice?
It's a set of principles which are aimed at increasing the soil organic matter, increasing the sequestration of CO2, increasing biodiversity, and also improving ways to manage water. It includes a large range of practices. At the end of all these practices are basically fitting to one of these pillars. It's more an holistic approach. There is no one only way to approach regenerative agriculture. It's more starting a journey towards more regenerative practices. So there may be operations which are more focused on reduction of CO2 emissions. So they undertake a regenerative approach focusing on that aspects. There are other farms, other businesses which are more focused on improving biodiversity. So they might put in place some measures which are aimed at improving this aspect.
What are the barriers to success then and to scaling up regenerative agriculture? I mean, it strikes me that there's a danger of a fragmented approach where there's not a kind of joined up thinking in terms of overall regenerative agriculture. So what are the barriers to that?
This time, I think we have barriers related to lack of metrics, lack of data. The industry needs a set of metrics that can be used in a consistent way to measure impacts of regenerative practices, such a way that farms can understand where they need to improve and if improvement plans are being successful and how much success they get from changing practices. Data are very important. Actionable data, of course, are key. And at this time, we still see either lack of data or the data which the industry has are not consistent, are a bit fragmented. The other barrier is the missing link between implementing these new practices and benefits for the farms. Farmers are still uncertain whether undertaking this new type of farming can actually give them benefits back. So one of the key areas of work in this case is making sure that we measure and making sure that we support farmers, economically speaking, of course, in transitioning to these ways of operating.
What then characterizes a good project in this area then? Maybe you can give us some examples, but what are the kind of picture of the characteristics of a good regenerative agriculture project?
First of all, the success of a regenerative project is something which is measured more in the medium long term. It's difficult to measure success within a couple of years, so we always look at 3-5 years time. Within this time frame, we know if a regenerative project is giving the right results, the positive results. The POSI project is where a farm can measure the positive impact in terms of yields, in terms of quality of produce, and also in terms of environmental impacts, as well as making sure that this new approach is maintained. So a continuous improvement in this case is key. We try to engage with farms, with agribusinesses in general. We try to put them on the right track, and we also need to make sure that they keep following this continuous improvement approach. That's very important.
Now, I know that you've just launched a new platform, Regen Agri, which is designed to help secure soil and land health and also livelihoods of farmers. Tell us a bit about how this is going to work and what success look for this new project.
Regen Agri is a regenerative agriculture initiative. It's aimed at supporting agribusinesses in transitioning towards more regenerative practices. So practices which are promoting soil health, increasing biodiversity, increasing sequestration CO2 and improving water management. It's an initiative which is looking at the environmental issues, of course, but also looking at the economical aspects around regenerative agriculture. Our mission statement is securing the health of the land and the wealth of those who live on it, which says it all. Basically, it's it's supporting, it's giving tools, it's giving support to agribusiness, to organizations to start this journey. At the same time, also works measuring and providing a support for farms to get benefits out of these new practices. There is, around this topic, there is a lot of work still to be done in terms of measuring the real value of regenerative practices, the real value of products coming from regenerative practices, and making sure that part of this value is going back to farmers. The initiative is intended to be a collaborative initiative, which means we are at the stage of engaging with organizations which are engaged and committed to regenerative programs. This collaboration is aimed at growing the initiative, developing the initiative. It's also an initiative which is inclusive. We are not focusing on organic, specific, or other types of farming. We include any type of farming. We believe that there is no one way to farm regeneratively. It's more starting a continuous improvement approach, which is aimed at improving the overall performance of our farming. The initiative is supported by what we call a digital hub, which is the place where members and non-members as well can access assessment tools. It's where agribusinesses can assess how they are performing in terms of regenerative practice. They can do benchmarking, and they can compare progress over time, also between different farms. So basically, it's the environment which is facilitating and supporting the uptake of regenerative practices from an analytical data standpoint. On top of that, we have all a set of support services which are advisory. Advisory we provide to members of RegenAgri to start and to maintain the implementation of the program, as well as certifications. So the RegenAgri certification is something which is available. It's certification given, granted to farms if they achieve a certain threshold, a minimum threshold of performance, and to be maintained, of course, over time. The certification, of course, is a third-party confirmation that this farm or group of farms are performing, are fulfilling the requirements of RegenAgri standard.
Who's involved in this initiative with you?
At this stage, we just started. We started a few weeks ago. We are in the phase, as I said, at the stage of engaging with other organizations. We will be for sure announcing the new setup or any new collaborations as soon as they become official.
And as you said, non-members can access some tools already, and we'll put a link to that next to the content of this podcast. More broadly, Franco, then, thinking ahead, what is the potential for regenerative agriculture? I mean, what do you think that the future might look like?
The potential is for RegenAgri in this case, it is to be a reference scheme where agribusinesses and other organizations can measure, can assess themselves, and can track their progress towards more regenerative practices. Its success is also when the industry, the agriculture industry, is using RegenAgri to access also economical benefits. One of the key area work of RegenAgri is to set up some metrics and measure the real value of regenerative practices and products coming from regenerative practices. So increasing the value, which means also accessing this additional wealth by operators, by the industry at large.
Do you think that it will solve the 60 years of topsoil problem that you highlighted earlier?
Well, it's very difficult to say whether it's going to solve it perhaps before or to which extent. What we know at this time, and as I said, the regenerative approach is starting a journey. What we can say is that it sets the right path towards increasing the health of the soil, towards reducing emissions and raising sequestration CO2, and increasing biodiversity. It's the right direction. But we need a lot of collaboration around the industry in order to take benefits from experiences and to record any valuable inputs from other parties. That's, I think, is the most useful way to go.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to see how regenerative agriculture does progress. It does seem to be, as you say, the best way that we have at the moment to solve the soil health problem. And we'll be following it at Innovation Forum to see what happens. But for now, Franco Constantini, Managing Director of Control Union UK, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you.
And if you want more information about the new initiative that Franco and I talked about, go to regenagri.org. As ever, there's plenty more insight and analysis available on innovationforum.co.uk, including the usual podcasts and interviews. Look out for some reflection on the recent Innovation Forum Ethical Trade and Human Rights event series. And don't forget to register for the Future of Plastics event in October right now to save £300 on conference passes. But that's all for now. I've been Ian Welsh, and I'll be back next week.